with Robert Jammer Steele, the lead singer and bass player from the band Brute Force. How you doing today, Jammer?
I'm good. How are you today?
Okay, well, I'm doing great. Now, of course, the first time I talked to you was last November, November 7th, 2012 to be exact, and your debut album has just come out. And the reason I wanted to talk to you today is it's been, like I said, about 5 months since we last talked. Kind of wanted to do an update on the last interview, kind of find out where the band is. How happy are you with the way the album's been selling?
Well, for the little exposure that we have, I was very happy, actually. When we've got my brother and I got our first check from CD Baby, we were surprised that many people had actually purchased the album. So we're very happy. When you're in the position that we're in where no one really knows who you are and you're trying to struggle to get your name out there, you're very happy when other people than your family actually purchased the album. So we were very, very happy. Still are, as a matter of fact.
And let me ask, you know, like you said, right now the band's at a point where you guys are really trying to get your name out there. But one thing that's really impressed me since, you know, since we last talked was in every interview I've read with you, that you guys have done and everybody that's reviewed the CD, I can't find anybody that's had any really thing negative to say about the band. So I got to ask, for a new band, that must be a pretty great feeling to be reading such positive reviews about your band and the music.
Actually, you're right. I feel very fortunate. Everybody that we've done an interview with or did a review on our record, our album, or anyone that's heard it has had nothing but good things to say about it. So I know we had a good combination. We're very lucky to have the people that we had working on it, and we put out some good songs, and we're just really happy that it worked out the way it has so far, and we hope we can continue that down the road.
And so let me ask you, have you guys had the opportunity to do a lot of live shows since the album came out?
Well, we haven't done any live shows at all because it doesn't benefit us again. We're in L.A.
Okay.
And it's all pay to play, but let me give you some updates about what we have done. We have signed a distribution deal with Pure Steel Records out of Germany.
Oh, that's great.
They distribute to all of Europe, Australia, Japan, and South America. We were very happy and lucky to be signed with them. They're a pretty major independent record company, and they've actually started getting interviews with us across Europe and getting our name out in Europe a little bit. And then I can't name a name, but just as of last week, we actually, looks like we picked up a tour manager for a bigger group of people. She's a woman. She works with a lot of other bands that are named bands, and it looks like we're going to be working with her as a tour manager, getting us out. So even though we haven't played live any, we've been working hard behind the scenes to get our name out there to do the things that we need to do, and it's, so far it's paid off.
Congratulations on that. Let me say, I think part of the reason that there's so much buzz about the band is, number one, you know, the music's pretty good. You guys, it's pretty simple rock and roll, but it is what it is. And I think a lot of people have respect for it because, like, even just talking to you the last time, it's obvious all the hard work that you and your brother and everybody involved in the band is, you know, it's really a family unit, and you guys are pretty much hands-on yourself. You know, that must take a lot of pride in the fact that you guys have come this far.
Yeah, and we just wanted the music to be simple, like AC/DC. Everyone always says AC/DC, their music real simple to play and blah, 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 whatever it may be. Well, we wanted it that way for a couple of reasons. Number one, we didn't want to have you be an Einstein to figure out what our music was, number one. And number two, we wanted people to be able to understand the words and the lyrics and just enjoy themselves. There are other bands out there that have deep meanings in their songs, and you're more than welcome to go to them. I like some of them myself, but I just didn't want to be that kind of band. I just wanted to be straightforward, you know, blast in your face. Big thinking in your face is one of our mottos, and that's what we wanted to be. So that I'm very happy. I'm very happy with the way things have worked out. You get very frustrated sometimes because you're not moving at the speed that you think you should. And this is a business, just like everything else that's out there, and you have to kind of wait your turn and put yourself in a good position where if something good does come out of it, you put yourself in that position to have the good things come to you. So that's what it seems like right now for us.
Yeah, and I think another thing is, you know, it's a real feel-good story in the sense that, like, when I was talking to you the last time, you know, you told me that you and your brother, you know, when you were growing up, you guys always had the dream of being wrestlers, and, you know, you accomplished that dream. You went for that, and you guys came a pretty good wrestling team, and then you always had the dream of going into music. You did that, and you're telling me that you've done some movies and some acting. So I think a lot of people, you know, kind of cheering you guys on, because it seems like, you know, everybody has dreams, and unfortunately not everybody can live out their dreams, but you know, you and your brother, for example, and everybody involved in the band, you guys seem to, you know, when you want to do something, you go for it, and you so far have succeeded at all, accomplishing all your dreams pretty much.
Right. We just really wanted to be entertainers. We've always liked heavy metal, like I mentioned, but we always wanted to be in some form of entertainment. And sometimes during certain parts of years of our life, things weren't available to us, so we just took what we had. And by the way, I appreciate everything that you said nice about us. I really do. But we just, you know, we're hardworking. We're a good example that if you believe you can do something, you should do it. I think everyone should. Sometimes you're in a position where you can't do something, and that may be because, you know, you're married, your job, or whatever. But if you really want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. And you just got to kind of hang in there. That's what we've done. Again, we've always wanted to be entertainers, and this was just our time for us to be able to push the band and see what happens. And just, you know, it seems like it's kind of slowly gaining momentum to where we want it to be. So we'll see what happens after that. We kind of joke around a lot because my brother and I, because we're character actors. We're only, you know, we're bigger guys with long hair. And usually when we audition with guys that are maybe with no hair. So it's either you're going to pick a guy with long hair or you're going to pick a guy with short hair. But we don't obviously get as many roles as we want to, but we always joke around the fact that if we make it in the band big enough, that's probably when all the acting parts will show up. So I guess we had to go through a band and wrestling to become actors.
Yeah, you know, another thing, not to set out what you guys want to copy anybody else, but, you know, another thing I was thinking since I talked to you the first time was, like I said, you guys got such a great story about the way you started the band and even the wrestling and everything. Have you ever thought of, you know, maybe a few years from now, like putting out a documentary about, you know, kind of almost like Anvil, the movie, you know, of how you guys started and got to where you're at?
Good idea. I never thought about that. If we get to be popular enough where someone would actually care if we did a documentary, I might think about doing that. It's a good idea. Maybe I'll get you involved in it, all right?
Yeah.
Or something. I like that. It's a good idea. Hopefully we can get to that point where we could make a documentary. Someone would want to see it. So it's a good idea.
Yeah, and you know,
we've done a lot of different things. So, you know, we've come from a lot of different areas that I don't think a lot of people have. And we're not really the musicians. We're more, I guess, we want to be more rock stars than musicians. I don't have the talent to be Steve Harris, and not a lot of people do. But, you know, if I can just be successful playing my music and get out there, I'll be happy with what I get.
Yeah, you know, not even saying that you're the same type of band, but I mean, for years, you know, people have been clowning on a band, you know, like Kiss or whatever, for wearing their makeup, but yet they've been around doing it for 40 years. You know, they might not be the greatest musicians out there, but you know, when you hear stuff like they sold more records than the Beatles, you know, in America, I mean, that's a pretty you know, major thing, and they kind of, like you guys, you know, did it their own way. You know, even when they got signed, people were saying, you know, we don't want to sign you with the makeup. They're like, no, you sign us the way we are, or we'll get our, you know, deal somewhere else.
You just have a person around, musician or not, that wouldn't want to be in Kiss's position. So anybody that has anything negative to say about them or what they've accomplished, you know, isn't being real to themselves. Any of us in any walk of life would like to have the money and the fame that they've had. So I don't know anybody that wouldn't. So.
And so let me ask you, Jammer, I was curious, you know, like you said, you're working right now, getting the band's name out there some more, but are you at the point where you guys have started thinking about the next album yet?
Yeah, we have. I have 8 songs done, but the fact of the matter, here's how it works with me. I'd rather have all of them done and get them ready,
yeah,
so that when that time comes, we don't have to struggle, we're ready. But I was just, we haven't gotten all the work out of these songs yet, out for Blood yet, by any means. So we're still going to push that for a long time. But then when the time comes, if we're able to sign somewhere or someone says, we need you to do another album, then, yeah, I've already thought about that. And my goal is to have everything done so that when someone comes up to me and says, hey, we need you to do another album, then bang, I can have it done. So, yeah, you always try to keep writing. I learned that from Bob Hewlett. Keep writing as many songs as you can. because you never know when you need them. You don't want to get caught short. So, good question. Yeah, we already are working on other songs, but I'm going to get all in. As much as we've struggled to do what we've tried to do, and as much money as it's cost us and pain and suffering, I'm going to get all the miles I can out of Out for Blood before I do anything else, though.
Yeah, and on that front, like, when we talked the last time, you were talking to me about, like, you know, what a major job it was raising the money just to make the first album and also to be able to pay the producers and everybody involved. Do you think, because you got Out for Blood now and, you know, the success of that you've had so far, it'll be a lot more easier as far as, you know, having funds to do the next album?
Definitely. Good question. Yeah, I definitely think so. We have a couple of other options if we want to go to another producer, not that we're not happy.
Yeah.
At all, but if it gets, you know, I have a few more options, and we know a little more about how to just be better musicians in the studio, which is different than playing live, and we know a little bit more of what we're looking for, so yeah, excellent question, we'll be a little more prepared this time. I'm just going to say this right now, if we do a next album, if there's enough need for us to do it, I'm going to make sure that it's a little more heavier, even than what this is.
Yeah, because again, like in listening to the Out for Blood album, like I said, it's basic, you know, just good time rock and roll, you know, heavy metal, and like I compare it to really kind of Motorhead, because you got Lemmy type vocals, and it's, you know, like I wouldn't even really ask what the song's about, like Live for Speed, Out for Blood, Metal Injections, just good time rock. But then I did want to ask you the final track on the album, Freedom's Heart, Nada song. You want to talk a little bit about that? Is Nada anybody specific that song is dedicated to?
Yeah, good question. Nada is a girl in Iran, Nada Aga Sultan, who was killed, I believe it was 2009 now. It's been a little while, 2008 or 2009. And she was the girl that was killed. The Iranians were having an election, and the students were on one side, and the establishment was on the other side. And the students didn't like the way that things were being added up and the way they were being treated. So I guess one day they had a rally, and someone brought out a gun and accidentally shot this really beautiful young woman. And we saw a story about her on HBO where she had wanted to be more free than what her society or her country wanted her to do. She didn't want to wear all the scarves on her face. She was a beautiful person, and she wanted to just be more, I don't want to say Western civilized, but she wanted to do more than what she wanted to do. And when she got killed, it was a huge uprising in Iran about that. Our media really didn't show it all that much, but it turned her more into a symbol of freedom. So when I saw that story, that's what I wrote that song about. It's not a political song. It's more a story about freedom for human rights. And sometimes we take that for granted, the things that we have in this country. And now we have an administration sometimes that tries to rock us in those things. I don't want to get too political, but we have really good over here, and sometimes other countries' people don't have that. And here was just a young, beautiful woman that just wanted to just grow up and have a good life, and her life ended tragically over really nothing. So that's what the song's about.
Oh, you know, okay, yeah, now that you talk a little bit about it, I kind of remember hearing about that story, but you know, on that note, I'd like to ask, you know, like, well, you got an album full of good time music, you know, how does it feel that, like, that, you know, that you could write a song about, you know, an actual news story, and you could educate your fans about, hey, this is a story that I, you know, heard about, and this is what we think of it, you know, this is, you know, who this woman was. That must be a pretty great feeling.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone says, well, you got nice, easy songs, or they're this and that, they're real simple, blah, blah, whatever it may be, that's okay. You know, everyone's interpretation, they're entitled to that. Then when you throw a song in like that has some historical facts to it, that it meant something, it feels good to do that. You throw people for a loop because they think you're, you know, just writing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and you throw something like that, it throws people off a little bit. So it gives my brother and I and Will a chance that they've ever seen you guys have simple songs, there's no meaning behind it, we just go, well, look at that song, so something for us to you know, even up a little bit if we need to.
That's kind of it.
I just really like the story, and the girl was really just a really
innocent,
beautiful young lady, and it's just too bad that sometimes we take for granted the freedoms that we have in other parts of the country that don't have those freedoms. That's all it really is about.
You know, it's funny we're talking about that today. I mean, you know, I've been at work all day, and when I got out, I heard on the radio in the car coming home, you know, about the Boston terrorist attack today, which was, and it just makes you kind of think that, you know, any given day, something like that could happen, and people, you know, take life for granted.
Yeah, here's some people just running a marathon, and at least 2 people have been killed, and 20 have been injured. I saw that on TV, too. I couldn't believe it. So we take for granted sometimes the things that we have, and we shouldn't, but, yeah, so it's amazing. The Boston Marathon story is an amazing story. We haven't found all everything out about that yet, but you take things for granted. You're just going to work and coming home, so.
Yeah. And so let me ask you, I was curious, you know, you're busy promoting your own band, but do you get a chance to listen to much new music, or what have you been listening to these days?
Yeah, I have. I try to listen to as many new bands or bands that I'm not familiar with very much, just so that I can become familiar with them. And there's some pretty good stuff out there. I don't really know the name of the bands, but I try to listen to as much new stuff or as updated music as I can. You know, you try to do that because you're in that market and you try to find out who's similar to you or who's doing what. Because if you ever meet them on the road, it'd be nice to, you know, say, hey, I listened to so-and-so and you guys sound good, that kind of thing, too.
Yeah, and, you know, getting back to Brute Force for a minute, you know, you were telling me that you designed the logo and that album cover. So are you really much into art, and do you think you'll be continued to do the artwork for the band?
I'll probably have somebody else do it from this point on. We've thought about changing that lightning bolt to make it easier for everyone to read. And then if you look at all these other bands, like some of the death metal guys, and you can't even read their names, and they're getting by with it. So we'll probably just leave it like that. But the next album cover will have more sexual orientations on it, I can tell you that.
Oh, cool. You know, yeah, the only thing about the logo, I think it looks very cool. It's almost, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of Kiss, but like the name of the band is Brute Force, and like I almost if I'm not looking, I always want to like spell it Force, Force, and I forget the Z is silent.
right, there you go.
Yeah, so I was curious, like you said, you're writing tunes for what may be the next album. So you think when you get to the point, like you're in the writing process right now, that there's going to be more thought to the lyrics. Like maybe you'll write more songs like what we're talking about, that Freedom's Heart, things based on stories and things that you read and stuff in the newspaper.
Yeah, I'll throw something in there like that. Obviously, my brother and I have different likes. He likes a lot of history and things of that nature, so we'll probably throw something in there. But honestly, we're going to stick with the formula that's been working for God knows how long. Sex and rock and roll and women and kicking ass and fighting and getting laid. That's always seems to be a good formula.
Yes,
so,
you know, sometimes
we'll mix the two up a little bit, but that's going to be the main drive for Brute Force.
And sometimes, you know, as they say, keep it simple, stupid. Meaning, you know, if it, like you said, if it's working, you know, don't change the formula.
What have Kiss and AC/DC done for 40 years?
Yeah, exactly. And so you write a lot of the lyrics, I know. Do you think there will be more input from your brother, guitar player Will, on the next album?
No. I listen to them. If they have something to put in, I let them put it in.
Okay. And, you know, talking a little bit about the power of the internet, you know, it just amazes me, like, you know, you could be a band from Hollywood, California, and somebody in, you know, because you got a Facebook page or whatever, somebody all the way in Russia or Mexico or even in Japan, halfway across the world is listening to you. Where would you say is a place in the world where Brute Force is really popular right now?
Will be very popular in Europe and Japan.
Yeah.
We want to go to Japan. They really like heavy metal, and they don't have a lot of it, and there's a lot of bands going over there that aren't really heavy metal because they're pretty much dying for some metal. So I think that when our time comes, I think that we're getting a lot of feedback, too, from our sites from South America.
That's what I'm asking. Like, it must have made you like, oh, wow, you know, this kid from South America wrote me and said he heard our album or he downloaded our song, you know, on iTunes, and they're, you know, we're just a little band from Hollywood, California, and somebody all the way in South America is listening to us or checking out our band, you know?
Yeah, we got two reviews from Brazil and another review, I forgot from where else, and then we're on a compilation album from someone in, I forgot what the South American area is. I forgot what it is, but we're starting to pick up a little momentum in South America, and I know they like heavy metal, so if you ever see some of the documentaries that are on TV for Iron Maiden and Priest and all those guys, you know, South America is a good market, and we are actually are getting probably more momentum there than anywhere else right now, as a matter of fact. Good question.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to think that, like, even a country like Japan, they're really into hard rock and metal, too, but I've been told, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, you go there and everybody speaks, obviously speaking Japanese, but yet they sing every word in English, or they sit there and they put their fist up in there, and a lot of times they say the Japanese, for example, have a lot more respect than, you know, American audiences.
Yeah, I mean, so friends of mine have played in other bands that have gone to Japan and have been treated very well, very receptive, and the shows were sold out, and, you know, they're not named bands yet, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We're really trying to push to get over to Japan, so if you know somebody, let us know.
Sure, but, So right now you guys are just working on getting the name and you got the distribution deal. You guys got any plan to make like any videos for any of the songs, or because of course videos aren't what they used to be, but you know they're pretty popular on YouTube and stuff even these days.
Yeah, good question again. We're gonna have to but it's probably gonna be something smart of us to do a video. We actually thought about it right before we let the album out. But we've been batting that idea around the last couple of months of what song to do and how we should do it. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer, see what the effect of is. We're able to go tour, and then any more population or getting more a little more popular through Pure Steel. But we're going to get a video out here soon because it is important that you do something like that. It just gets you out there more. There's no doubt about it. It's a very simple formula. You put something out. You know, if it's fairly decent, it'll get you more attention. So we'll probably do something like Sex Machine or Thrill Queen, which is about porn chicks. We'll probably get one of those two songs out to spice it up with women a little bit.
I think
that seems to draw a crowd, right?
Yeah, I think those would be pretty good choices. And again, you know, I think just with a band like you guys, you know, you're pretty visual, like you said. You know, you're pretty, you know, everybody in the band's pretty big because, you know, like you guys were wrestlers and stuff. And I think it's pretty, you know, if you put the visual with the music, I think you get some positive feedback.
Yeah, you do. It's a good idea. Well, we've been thinking about a video for a while, so it's something that's going to happen here pretty soon.
And so, like, even if you guys were to do a video, you obviously must have given some thought to how you would do it. I mean, I imagine it would be pretty much like everything you've done thus far, which is pretty much in-house. You get your own guys maybe to film you guys. You go shoot it yourself, or have you given much thought to that?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but honestly, the only thing I think about in the video is if I was a kid or someone and I wanted to, what would I want to see in the video to make me want to watch the video?
Yeah.
So besides the music, which is just hard driving, what do I want to have in that video that's going to want to make other people take a look at it? So that's the main thing that we're thinking about, how much sex can we put in the video? It sounds funny, but everyone's gone away from that now. No one does that old Motley Crue girls stuff. You can't really see that many videos anymore that's got that kind of theme to it. It seems like everybody's kind of gone away from that. We want to go towards it because, you know, that's a good theme.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, like you're saying, I mean, even MTV today, dare I say, music television, you won't see too many videos. They got every kind of reality show and everything else but music, but yet now you go to YouTube and they got ton, you know, people go there and they download, you know, their favorite videos, or a lot of upcoming bands, like you said, like yourselves, they are putting out videos, but you know, they're putting them on their own websites or on YouTube, and it's amazing that people will go to YouTube. But like, if you look at the music industry, they're not playing music videos, you know. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, people still like that kind of stuff. People still like the basics. The basics always work.
Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy thing to me. Even with technology, I love computers and the internet and everything. But you know, I miss the days, for example, when I used to be able to go to Tower Records and check out all the latest releases and, you know, get all my favorite new CDs. I mean, if I want to get anything, I gotta order it off of Amazon, pretty much, or even here in LA. There's one big record store, but I gotta drive all the way to Hollywood, you know, for that. And you know, because of technology, as great as it is, you know, you got things like that where even go to Target or Walmart, you only find like Michael Jackson, or not gonna find the latest Lynch Mob CD or whatever. So, talking a little bit about your distribution deal, how hard has it been getting your CD out there?
Well, it would have been harder for us on our own, but Pure Steel is a known name. They're one of the larger independent record companies. And when you're getting distribution, their whole thing is to pick someone up that they think they can make money off of. That's what it's all about. So they push you enough where you can get out to, we've done a couple interviews in Denmark and one in Belgium recently. So they're getting us to markets that we've never ever been before. And that's what's good about it, because if we do a good job, then people buy our album and they make money off of it. So that's how it's supposed to work. And we make a little too. So that's what's been happening with them. We're very happy with Pure Steel just in the short time that we've worked with them. And they seem to have been doing a very good job for us.
And so that's what I was going to ask. You don't have to give me a dollar amount, but I was curious, is the split between the band and the record company pretty even?
Well, we know. They give you, they have their own deal, and then once they pay for all, because it's in German, you have to pay for all the taxes and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's a pretty even deal.
Okay, that's cool. And I imagine you guys have been able to keep all the rights to your music, but the record company doesn't own everything.
Yeah, all of our stuff's copyrighted. If you're in a band and you don't do that, you're a fool.
Yeah.
I can't tell you anything more than that.
And I was curious, as far as record sales, would you say that you've sold an equal amount of actual hard copy CDs, or do you find that more people are buying it digitally?
More people are buying digitally, but I've sold a lot of hard copies. I was very, very impressed and surprised.
And I guess you guys still still sell CDs, like, you know, out of your back of your car, so to speak, you know, to people that you personally know, or Pure Steel is pretty much handling it all for you now.
Well, Pure Steel is a distribution, so they have a website.
Uh-huh.
So they drive people to the website. What you're talking about is what we're going to be doing when we do tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Back of our band.
Yeah, merch in that.
Yeah, you want to sell the merchandise out of the back. You want to sell your merchandise at every show, including shirts. So we'll be selling shirts and our CD.
And I imagine
that's when people hear it. They hear it, they want to get it right then, so you want to have it available.
Yeah, and I imagine doing the merchandise and stuff and selling it at the show, that helps to support the touring and bring in money that you wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
And
it worked out like that. We think in our minds and figuring out a paper, it works out like that. But in reality, we don't know yet. But as soon as that happens, we'll let you know.
And I was curious. So you guys haven't started printing up T-shirts or anything of that nature? Are you working on coming with designs, or you think you'll wait till it gets to that point?
No, we're going to start redesigning our T-shirt a little bit and put more on the sleeve to make it more colorful from what it is on the website. But yeah, that's a good question. We actually will start picking that up in the next couple of weeks too, because when you do tour, you need as much ammo as possible. People like T-shirts too, so hopefully you'll have a good enough T-shirt where people will want it. So yeah, we have to pick up that based on that too.
Okay, and I was curious, you know, the only thing I had that maybe to suggest to you is I was curious, like if you go on your website, there's pretty much the one photo of the band. How come you guys haven't taken more photos?
We do. That's the one I like the best.
Oh, okay, because that's like the most. I was just curious because that's the most common one I've seen. You know, or the most.
Yeah, there's more band photos and there's live photos. We just haven't put them up there yet.
Okay.
You kind of want to have, it's a good, fair question. It's actually a good point. We should load more on there, to be honest with you.
And I say that because even, even as a fan,
or on Facebook.
Okay, I have to check that out because even as a fan, you know, myself and a lot of other people, friends of mine, people love to go check out, you know, Facebook or whatever their bands that they're into, and you know, check out all the latest photos. And some bands are really great at just posting everything, and like some guys, you know, just have like one or two photos up, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, the thing is, we want to. And that's a good, fair question, a good point, and you're absolutely right. We want to make sure now, from now on, that we post updated photos and not of all that we have are past photos. So when we start touring, we do get more photo opportunities. You'll see a lot more on there.
Okay. And I was curious, as far as interviewing and press goes, do you get an equal amount of online interviews, like for what we're doing today, or as you do radio and you know, print magazines?
Probably more online, like with you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I would say there's only a few magazines, and most of them are online, like with you. Which, by the way, we really appreciate, because if we didn't have that outlet, that avenue again, you know, bands like ourselves wouldn't have any way to get ourselves out there. So, if it wouldn't be again for guys like yourself doing interviews with us. And with bands like ours, you know, we wouldn't have an opportunity. So we really appreciate it.
You know, that's the amazing thing about this, even to me as a fan. Like I said, you know, I got into this because I was a fan of hard rock and metal bands, and I want to do what I could to support it. And it's amazing to me. I just started reaching out to different bands and different musicians, and I've actually interviewed people, you know, like George Lynch and Tim Ripper Owens. You know, and it's just amazing. Just, you know, you can get on the internet, how to contact these people, and it's amazing. Oh, sure, I'll talk to you or whatever. That just shows you the power of the internet. And like I said, to think that, you know, I'm in the LA area, and I can talk to somebody who's all the way in, you know, Philadelphia or wherever. And it just shows you the power of the internet. And you wonder how bands did it, like back in the 70s when they didn't have what they have now.
Good point. That's a good question. I don't know how they did it. I guess maybe they go from town to town, and they would just have more magazines or more people like that wrote. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know how they would do it compared to now. It seems a lot easier to get your stuff on the internet than ever before.
Yeah, and I imagine, like I said, with the internet and that, you have a lot more. You're able to reach a lot more people a lot faster. So I was curious, you know, talking a little bit about you know, the letters or even emails you receive from your fans. Was there any thing like real weird experience or real weird message you got from a fan that kind of, or even an email that kind of touched your heart?
Well, I will say this: someone emailed me and told us that "Out for Blood" was absolutely one of the best songs they've ever heard in the last 10 years. And when I heard that, I felt really good because that's really a hell of a compliment from somebody that doesn't know me at all, that just picked up our CD and listened to that. Songs, and when they said that about one of my songs, I was very touched. I thought that was fucking fantastic. I know you can't say that, but that's what I felt.
That's fine.
Good to know that somebody thought that much about one of your songs, that's one of the best songs they've heard in the last 10 years. It's pretty cool.
And, you know, talking about brute force again, like I said, one thing that amazed me is, you know, you guys got such a great story as far as, you know, you've done it all yourself pretty much, and you've been able to, you know, live out your dreams from wrestling to music, and everything you set out to do, you managed to do. And thing that amazed me, for being such a new band, that I haven't really read one bad review, one bad art. You know, a lot of times you got critics that just love to attack new bands. You guys obviously got the talent, but you know, if you were to get attacked negatively by a critic, would you care at all so much what a critic thought versus what a fan thought?
I would care more what the fan thought.
And it is, I guess you, like me, are kind of surprised that the band's got such a positive review. That must be a great feeling.
Yeah, it's, you're doing your homework. We haven't had any real negative. I hope our jinxes.
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't really had any negative feedback at all, which I expect at some point in time. But it doesn't really matter as long as we keep our name out there. When it gets personal, if it gets any personal or something like that, then when we're on tour, I might try to find a way to meet that person, to talk to them face to face. But other than that,
yeah.
As long as I have my name out there, my band's out there, I care about that, and I care what fans think. Everybody likes to have good things said about them. So obviously, if someone says something negative, you can't really. It's hard sometimes not to, to get serious about it. But that's just the way it is. There's no way ever that we would have be able to please everybody with their music, and someone's going to say something eventually. So you know, all you can do is concentrate on the positive people that like you, and go from that point. You just can't. The best bands in the world had critics, which I never understood. But how can you have a critic about somebody who's been around for 30 or 40 years? If they weren't any good, they wouldn't be around that long.
Yeah.
But everybody gets chopped up, so it's just the way it is.
And you know what I would say, you know, I'd rather have them talking about me than not talking about me, you know, either way. But again, now, you know, looking towards your next album, I was curious, since you've got such a positive reviews from your debut album, do you have any fears about being able to follow that up?
No, because it's going to be very similar to what it is. I'm just going to make it a little more harder, a little more power in being it, like a more power of a Motorhead or a Metallica. It's going to have that more driving power in it. So no, I think the next set of songs are just as good as this set of songs. So you know, I'm not worried about that at all, one bit.
And let me ask you, compared to like writing for the first album, do you feel that you've progressed any in your songwriting?
Well, no, when you talk about Nate, I try to see what people want or what people are talking about. One of our songs that we're going to have on the next album is going to be a tribute song to Dimebag.
Oh, cool.
No one's ever wrote a song about the kid. Guy's a great guitar player. He's one of the best guitar players ever.
Wow.
And I haven't heard one song that I can remember since he got shot. I can't think of one song where anyone's ever given the guy credit or had a tribute to him. So when I see something like that, then I try to make sure that people that deserve it get some kind of geek. And that's what NATO was, and that's what this song will be. So.
Wow, I can't wait to hear that. That sounds pretty amazing. And, you know, speaking about Dimebag Darrell and...
I might want to keep that out of the interview because then someone will steal that idea before we get a chance. But
okay.
No one's ever written a song. Can you remember any of these bands that have ever written a song about the guy? The guy's one of the greatest guitar players ever.
Yeah, no, wow. And speaking of Dimebag Darrell, you know, he's pretty much obviously murdered on stage. I was curious, you know, in the wake of something like that, do you have any fears about performing in any of these, you know, little clubs like that? And, you know, you ever worry about security or anything like that?
Yeah, you got to, especially since what happened to him, to Dimebag, and then what happened to the guy with, was the Lamb of God over in Czechoslovakia or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, when people come up on stage and we don't know who you are, we have the right to literally annihilate you. So if I see someone coming at me or my brother or Will and I don't know who you are, you know, you got to go down. Yeah, you always worry about that now because there's some people out there that's what they like to do. So you just try to not think about it, but it's always probably in the back of everyone's mind.
And like you said, you don't have a lot of touring under your belts at this point, but how comfortable are you in your position as the band's, you know, frontman? You know, in other words, when you guys really start getting out there and doing some heavy touring, you think you'll have any problem getting up and, you know, being, you're the lead singer, you're the guy that most people are going to be looking at?
No, not really, because my brother is about as nice of a person as you can get, and he's not into that ego.
Yeah.
The other bands are, and Will's the same way. Will's an excellent guitar player, a great guitar player, and he's definitely going to get his share. And he should. He's a good guitar player. He should get as much as possible. So none of us three have any kind of egos. We're not into that.
Yeah.
Which probably, you know, is unique because, you know, if you've been around bands long enough, you know there's always some egos.
Yeah.
But we're just not like that. Personally, sometimes I'd rather have everyone interview my brother. He's funnier than me. He has better stories. So,
yeah.
You know.
And talking a little bit about that, you know, there are bands like even like... Motley Crue and that have been around for years, and you know the only time they apparently see each other is like when they're touring, or you know, and after a show's over, they go to their own separate ways. And when they're not touring, they don't even hang out. So that must be a great feeling to really be in a band of brothers, so to speak, where you guys are such good friends. And you know, how often do you guys hang out? Do you see each other guys pretty frequently, even when you're not doing band business?
We're brothers, and we do everything together. We live together, we work a job together, We've been in movies together. We've wrestled together. So my brother and I are close, which you're right. It makes a huge difference to us because I have a friend that can cover my back anytime I need it.
Yeah.
And he can't, the same vice versa with me. Will's an easygoing guy. He's a very nice, polite guy, good guy. He's easy to get along with. We don't have any trouble. We have different interests than what Will does, but we like Will, and so we don't have any kind of issues like that at all. That won't be an issue with us. If that is an issue, that'd be a top line story then.
Okay, yeah, that, and last thing I'd like to let you know about Jammer is, you know, since I last talked to you, I got some software. Like I said, I'm recording the interview today, and so what we're going to do is we're going to, like with the last interview, we're going to put it up on the on our internet site, which is www.chaoticriffs. And what that'll be is that's going to be kind of like an edited version of all the highlights of this. And then I'm also going to, on our sister site, which I'll send you the links to, going to post the full audio version, totally unedited. The only thing I'm going to have the guy obviously edit is, you know, the stuff we were talking about, the song that you're going to feature on your next album.
By the way, I liked your last interview. The website of what you have is pretty cool.
Yeah, and what we try to do is feature like a combination of, you know, classic established bands and as well as, you know, up and coming. Because to me, it's all about, you know, new music and stuff. And like I said, to me, Brute Force is just one of the great feel good stories from a, you know, I say from a last year. And you guys are still, you know, working your way up. So.